بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. إن شاء الله today we're going to talk about generosity. Every week we select a character trait from the character traits of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم to go through. And if there are particular traits that you that come to your mind that you would like to learn about, please share, and we can organize something around those traits. Sayyidina Munir mentioned it was the Sunnah of Sheikh Abdul Rahman that he would ask the students, the people who would attend his classes, when there was a book that he would finish, what book they would like to study next. So in keeping with that custom, we're not going through a book, but we're taking particular character traits. He's interested in hearing from what everybody else would like to hear about. So I asked a group of people who attend these classes, and there was a suggestion that we do the trait of generosity. Generosity is the trait of the ancient Arabs and also the modern Arabs. They're known for their generosity. Generosity and hospitality is a Muslim trait with which Muslims are distinguished from other people. Many, many people, they come to Islam because they see the hospitality and the generosity of the Muslims. Generosity means that you give without any hesitation. So someone could give charity, and it's difficult for them to give charity. They could give a lot of money, but it would be it doesn't come easily. That's not generosity. Generosity isn't an action that one does, but it's a way that one is. It's a way that one is from which the giving comes naturally, without any hesitation. So we'll hear from Sidi Bougnir about some of the virtues of this character trait. Then inshallah we'll take your questions, inshallah. العرب وأخلاق المسلمين ويأتي من قبله كثير سمعت كثير من ممن أسلم بسبب يعني تعامل المسلمين معه بالسخاء والجود والكرم ف و عرفت السخاء يعني قالوا هو الإعطاء بسهولة و إن شاء الله وقلت لهم يعني أن هذا جاء يعني هذا الخلق جاء اقتراح من بعض الحضور فإذا كان لديهم اقتراح لخلق من أخلاق النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فليقترحوا يعني كما حتى نأخذ بسنة الشيخ عبد الرحمن في المشاورة مع الآخرين في عندما ختم الكتاب.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلاة وأكمل التسليم على سيدنا ومولانا محمد سيد الأولين والآخرين وحبيب رب العالمين. اللهم افتح علينا بحبيبك سيدنا محمد ما أغلق علينا، اللهم افتح علينا بحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ما أغلق علينا. اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا ولا فهم لنا إلا ما فهمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. السخاء خلق من أخلاق الله، والكون والممكنات كلها هذا آثار صفة السخاء من الله سبحانه وتعالى، فهو يعطي الفاجر والتقي، يعطي البر والفاجر، يكرم جميع خلقه سبحانه وتعالى على كل توجهاتهم، فهذا خلق من أخلاق الله. من تشبه به وتخلق به أوصله إلى مرضات الله سبحانه وتعالى.
Generosity is one of the traits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The entire universe is a manifestation of the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives to those who obey Him, and He gives to those who disobey Him. He doesn't distinguish. And He fills the universe with giving. And somebody who adorns themselves with the character trait of generosity and giving to others has adorned themselves with the character trait of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
وقد وقفت على رسالة لسيدي عبد الرحمن يعني خادمكم أخوكم اختصر بها الأحياء فوجدتها يعني فيها وجدت بابا من أبوابها في السخاء ما شاء الله يعني الله يرحم الإمام الغزالي ويوفق من سار على منهجه واتبع سنة حبيبه صلى الله عليه وسلم فهذا بحث يعني لا بأس به نقتطف منه ما ييسره الله لنا.
So his son, son Sheikh Rahman, he has an abridgment of the Ihya Ulumuddin of Imam al-Ghazali. He's abridged it, and so Sheikh Rahman is going through it, reviewing it, and he came across an investigation of the character trait of generosity. And so we will. He thought it was very beneficial, and he made it and said the works of Imam al-Ghazali are very beneficial. And so we'll read and see what he says here. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on him.
سمى هذا الكتاب تحفة السالكين من أحياء علوم الدين وترياق المقبلين من أقوال العارفين. تحفة السالكين من أحياء علوم الدين وترياق المقبلين من أقوال العارفين.
He called this abridgment the gift of those who tread the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, taken from the revival of the religious science, Ihya Ulumuddin of Imam al-Ghazali, and the medicine of those who tread the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, taken from the sayings of those who know and are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
وقد عنون هذا الكتاب بقول يتداوله السادة القوم رضي الله تعالى عنهم يقولون أقبح من كل قبيح صوفي شحيح.
The title of I think that he gave to this section in the book is what many of the righteous people say. They say that it rhymes in the Arabic that the ugliest of the ugly is a stingy Sufi.
قال عليه الصلاة والسلام عليه الصلاة والسلام عليه الصلاة والسلام السخي قريب من الله قريب من الجنة قريب من الناس بعيد من النار.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that somebody who is generous is close to Allah and he is close to paradise and he is close to people and he is far from the hellfire.
شو ترجمت سيدي كأنه في يعني غابت عنكم واحدة
يعني قريب من الله قريب من الجنة قريب من الناس بعيد من النار.
في واحدة قبل يعني هاي معناتها أنا يعني أدركت قريب من الله قريب من الجنة
نعم
قريب من الناس بعيد عن النار. أنا لا أعرف الإنجليزية لكن
no, so So he's close to Allah, close to Jannah, close to paradise, close to people, and you know, people like him, and far from the hellfire.
والبخيل والبخيل بعيد من الله بعيد من الجنة بعيد من الناس قريب من النار.
He said somebody who is stingy is far from Allah and far from Jannah, far from paradise, and far from people and close to the hellfire.
ولا جاهل سخي ولا جاهل سخي أحب إلى الله عز وجل من عابد بخيل. شيء عجيب هذا الحديث.
That somebody who doesn't know much about their religion but is generous is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than somebody who spends long hours worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala but is stingy. So this is something that is amazing and something that is worth our attention.
لو لم يكن في هذا البحث إلا هذا الحديث لكفى.
If there was nothing in this, if the only thing that this investigation, this section had was this hadith, it would be enough.
يقول الإمام الشافعي رضي الله عنه رحمه الله يغطى بالسماحة كل عيب وكم عيب يغطيه السخاء يغطى بالسماحة كل عيب وكم عيب يغطيه السخاء.
Imam al-Shafi'i said that forgiveness conceals every defect. And how many a defect is concealed by generosity? Meaning that if I'm mean to somebody, if I let somebody down, if I do something wrong to people, if I spend and if somebody spends and they're generous to them, then people forget about the generous person's faults, and they say that he doesn't have any faults. And so in this line of poetry, Imam Shafi'i is saying that how many a fault is concealed by generosity.
ويقول عليه الصلاة والسلام خصلتان لا تجتمعان في قلب مؤمن خصلتان لا تجتمعان في قلب مؤمن البخل وسوء الخلق.
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that there's two traits that don't gather, that aren't found together in the heart of a believer. Stinginess and having bad character with other people, being difficult to get along with, being mean to other people.
ولذلك قال الشيخ أبو الحسن الشاذلي رضي الله عنه وقدس سره لا تصحب إلا من تكون فيه أربعة خصال.
Said this is why Abu al-Hasan al-Shazili, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on him and sanctify seekers, he said that don't keep the company except of somebody who has four characteristics.
الجود من القلة والصفح عن المظلمة والصبر على البلية والرضا بالقضية.
Said the first is that he is generous even when times are tight. The second is that he forgives even when he's wronged, even when people wrong him. The third is that he is patient when tribulations befall him. The last is that he is pleased with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
وقالوا من شرط الولي من شرط الولي وهذه صفة مشتركة بين الأولياء كلهم من شرط الولي السخاء والكرم.
He said that a condition of being somebody who is close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of sainthood, of wilaya, is that one have generosity. And so all of the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have generosity.
ويقول: اعلم يا أخي أنه كلما كثر إطعامك للناس كلما كثرت النعمة عليك.
He said, Imam Ghazali said that the more you feed people, the more you give people to eat, the more the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will manifest themselves in your life.
فإن الله تعالى يسوق لكل عبد من الرزق بقدر ما يعلم في قلبه من السخاء والكرم.
Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He brings provision for His servants that is commensurate with the amount of generosity and giving that He knows that person to possess.
Subhanallah, هذا يعني يشاهد كل من اتصف بهذه الصفة بالسخاء تجده لا يوجد عنده قلة. يعني الحق سبحانه وتعالى يرزقه رزق من حيث لا يحتسب. هذا عجيب، نراه في مجتمعنا. كل من اتصف بصفة السخاء والكرم أبدا لا يقتر عليه من الرزق، أبدا لا يقتر عليه من الرزق.
Said that this is very something that he's seen, and you see this that everybody he knows who has the attribute of giving and feeding and spending, his provision is never straitened, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to those who give to other people.
وكان الشيخ محمد الشناوي يقول: جميع ما يدخل يدي من الدنيا ليس هو خاصا بي. جميع ما يدخل يدي من الدنيا ليس هو خاصا بي، وإنما أراه مشتركا بيني وبين المحتاجين، فكل من كان أحوج قدم مني أو منهم، فكل من كان أحوج قدم مني أو منهم. جميع ما يدخل يدي من الدنيا ليس هو خاصا بي، إنما أراه مشتركا بيني وبين المحتاجين، فكل من كان أحوج قدم مني أو منهم.
ما معنى قدم مني أو منهم؟
يعني قدم هذا الذي جاءه كل ما يدخل يده، يعطى منه الأحوج، فهو ليس خاصا بي. يقول الشيخ محمد: ليس خاصا بي هذا، إنما هذا للأحوج، أنا مشترك بيني وبين الخلائق، فكل من كان أحوج إليه أخذه.
So one of the righteous people, Sheikh Muhammad al-Sinnawi, he said that every rizq, every provision that comes to me, so he gets a salary, or he gets, somebody gives him a gift, or anything that comes to me, he says that I don't see any of it as being my property. But rather, it's property that's whose ownership is shared between, the way that I see it is that it's shared between me and between people who need it. And so whoever has the greatest need for it takes precedence. So if something comes to me and there's somebody else who needs it more, then I give it to him.
أتى سيد عبد الرحمن وفقه الله إلى قصة الهاشمي مباشرة خلف هذه المقالة، عندما يعني أعطاه الشيخ عبد الوكيل الفلوس وجاءه من شكى وكذا، فأعطاه هذه، جاء بها مباشرة بعد هذه يعني المقالة. هذا من توفيق الله.
Sheikh Abdul Rahman, his son, after mentioning this statement, he mentioned the story of Sheikh al-Hashimi that we mentioned last week, how Sheikh Abdul Wakil came and gave him money, and he was in extreme need, and then just shortly after that somebody came and complained to him about his own need, and Sheikh al-Hashimi took out what he had been given and gave it all to this person. So he said that this is from the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he mentioned that story immediately after this one.
وقال تعالى في الحديث القدسي: يا ابن آدم أنفق عليك.
The Prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in a hadith qudsi, he said, O son of Adam, spend and I will spend on you.
وقالوا رضي الله عنهم: زكاة العوام بذل الفلوس. وزكاة الخواص بذل النفوس.
They say that the zakat of a normal Muslim is spending money, but the zakat of people who have a special relationship with Allah Subhanahu wa Taala is spending of themselves. ما معنى بذل النفوس سيدي؟
هذا الذي كنت أن أريد أن أعلق عليه. السخاء والكرم ليس فقط في المال، في سخاء وكرم في الجاه، أن يستعمل الإنسان جاهه في مصلحة المعوزين له.
He said that
وأضرب على ذلك مثال يعني أو أمثلة.
generosity is not just in giving people money, but it comes in many other ways. It comes, one of the ways in which it comes is you're generous with your reputation, and you spend your reputation in order to help other people. And he's going to give some examples.
قد يكون بذل الفلوس سهلا، أن وجد الإنسان عنده من المال فأنفق، يعني قد يكون هذا سهل. أما بذل النفوس في خدمة الخلق واستعمال جاهه في قضاء حوائجهم، وهذا كان خلق من أخلاق سيدنا الشيخ عبد الرحمن رحمة الله عليه.
He says that spending money might be easy. Somebody has money and they spend it to help somebody else. But spending of your reputation and your standing in the eyes of other people in order to fulfill other people's needs is not something that is as easy. And this was one of the character traits of Sheikh Abdul Rahman al-Sha'wi.
ما قصده أحد من إخوانه أو جيرانه أو من غير معارفه، ما قصده أحد في مسألة ما إلا وسعى في قضائها. وكان مما أذكر يعني وحصل، كان يأتي إليه شخص ويقول سيدي لي الحاجة الفلانية، كان بإمكانه الشيخ أن يرفع التليفون ويقول أبو منير يعني في حاجة لأخينا عند فلان لو تقضى، لكن لم يفعل. يركب السرافيس والمواصلات ويأتي من المهاجرين من حيه إلى البلد، وسط البلد، ثم إلى حي أبو منير، ويعني ليس بسيارة تاكسي خاصة بل بمواصلات يعني فيها مشقة. وكنت أراه أحيانا يركب في هذه الحافلة، واقفا في الحافلة، ما في مقعد يعني يجلس عليه من كثرة الازدحام. يأتي لي من أجل فقط أن يقول لي سيدي فلان له حاجة، نريد أن نتوسط عند زيد من الناس في ذلك، فيقطع هذه المسافة وهذا الوقت، وكان بإمكانه أن يتصل تليفون فقط. هذا بذل الجاه.
فلماذا سيدي يعني هو لو اتصل بكم لا
لقضي الأمر، لقضي الأمر، لكن هذا دليل شدة الاهتمام. يعني أنت لو اتصل بك أحد عزيز عليك شيء جيد، لكن لو جاء إليك معنى هذا الأمر يعني كثير فيه اهتمام. هذا يشير على شدة الاهتمام في المسألة.
He said that nobody ever came to Sheikh Abdul Rahman asking for a need to be fulfilled, except that he tried his utmost to fulfill that need. So if somebody wanted to get a job and they wanted a good word, he would put in a good word. Or if somebody, they wanted to rent a house and the renter didn't rent the house, he would go, he would speak to the renter. Because Sheikh Abdul Rahman has a position amongst people, he's respected. And so he would use it in order to fulfill the needs of other people. He said that once somebody came to him somebody who he knew, and he asked him to help fulfill a particular need. And so Sheikh Abdul Rahman, immediately he said, yes, he'll do this. And he went to Sidi Abu Munir's house, and he left his, and they lived far from each other. And he took a public transport. And it took a long time for him to get to Abu Munir's house. And he would do this, he would take public transport. And he would, in order to fulfill the needs of other people, and he would be standing. Often he would be standing, and there wouldn't be a place to sit because the buses were crowded. So he took one bus, perhaps another bus, a transfer. He came to see Abu Munir's house, and he said to him that Sidi, that so and so has a need. We need to go and talk to such and such a person who will listen to us because of our connections with them, to help them in the fulfillment of his need. And so Abu Munir said that he could have just picked up the phone and called him, but he didn't pick up the phone and call him. He came personally and knocked on Sidi Abu Munir's door in order to indicate, as an expression of the importance that he gave to this matter.
وأنا في نفس اليوم سوف أراه يعني إما سأراه في المجلس أو أراه في البيت يعني أنا في نفس اليوم سوف أراه فلم يؤخر الأمر إلى أن يراني أو أراه بل يبادر في قضاء حاجة الناس يعني بنفسه.
He said that on the same day, Sidi Abu Munir would have seen him, because he served him and saw him every day. But he said that he didn't delay it. He rushed to fulfill the needs of other people by himself, and did as much that he could by himself to serve this person.
وهذا له أصل في السنة. وهو كل هذه السنة وهذا عندما جاء رجل يطلب حقه من أبو جهل أو أمانة وضعها عند أبو جهل فرده أبو جهل رد هذا صاحب هذه الحاجة صاحب هذه الأمانة فقريش قالت له نخبرك من يأتيك بهذه الأمانة من عند أبي جهل قال من؟ قالوا محمد هم أرادوا أن يجعلوا بين موقفا بين سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وبين أبو جهل فالرجل صد يعني أخذ كلامهم وذهب إلى سيدنا ومولانا محمد فقال له يعني لي حاجة عند فلان أبو جهل فقام رسول الله وطرق الباب على أبو جهل فتح له الباب قال أعطي فلان حاجته أو أمانته أو قال أجل دخل وأتى بالأمانة وأعطاها للرجل قريش تنظر شو هذا كيف يعني كيف حصل هذا يجب أن يكون هناك خصام وجدال و فأخذ الرجل حاجته وانصرف فقيل لأبي جهل قيل له يعني رأينا عجبا أنك أجبت محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم في طلبه قال والله رأيت خلفه فحلا يعني جمل فاتحا فاه لو قلت لا لابتلعني.
This is from the character traits of the Prophet himself. So there's a question, can you please give more specific examples of how to spend of your reputation? So here's another example. So the Prophet, there was Abu Jahl, somebody had left a safekeeping deposit with him, had said, can you take care of this for me? And he said, okay. And they went to get it back, and Abu Jahl refused. So he insisted, and Abu Jahl refused. And so people told him, go ask this man Muhammad and he will help you get it back, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they intended that their intention was that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to come and ask for it back from Abu Jahl. And there's going to be an argument, and there's going to be a big scene because he's going to refuse to give it back to him because he doesn't like him. So this man who was from out of town wasn't aware, so he went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mentioned his need. He said, this happened, Abu Jahl, can you help me? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately stood up. He immediately stood up and then he went and he knocked on Abu Jahl's door and he said that this man, he has this need. And so give it to him. And Abu Jahl said, he looked at him, he said, yes, immediately. He went inside and he got the property that he had, and he immediately gave it to this person. And the people are looking and they're watching in amazement because they expected refusal. They expected an argument, but he gave it immediately. And later on, they asked him, why did you do that? He said that he saw a camel behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam opening its mouth wide, a huge camel. And he said that if I had refused, he would have swallowed me up. But the thing to take here is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he personally went and he helped fulfill the needs of other people. So when people, they come to us for help, we might say that, you know, well, you know, this is, you know, why we might feel entitled. We might not want to spend our time. We might feel that if I go and I ask this person, then they're going to feel bad about me. I'm going to lose my reputation. They're not going to be as nice to me as that. So putting all those things aside and using the reputation that we have with other people in order to help them, that's what it means to spend up your reputation.
فقد عرض نفسه صلى الله عليه وسلم للخطر لأنه معلوم إذا أبو جهل وإذاءه للمسلمين ولرسول الله فقد عرض نفسه للخطر في لكن كل هذا لم يمنعه من إغاثة الملهوف وقضاء حاجته.
So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he exposed himself to danger in order to help somebody else. So the fact that his going to help somebody else put him in danger, endangered him, caused him potential harm, didn't prevent him from working to help somebody else.
وكان أحد العبادلة عبد الله بن عمر عبد الله بن مسعود أحد العبادلة كان معتكفا في مسجد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فجاءه رجل وقال له لي حاجة فقطع اعتكافه وخرج فقيل له في ذلك قال سمعت رسول الله أنه قال من قضى حاجة أخيه صلى الله عليه وسلم من قضى حاجة أخيه كان خير له من أن يعتكف في مسجدي هذا كذا وكذا من الشهور أو من السنين أو من السنة يعني خير في قضاء حاجة أخيه خير من اعتكافه في مسجدي هذا كذا وكذا من الوقت.
So he said, so one of the companions, a number of young companions whose name was Abdullah. And so one of these companions named Abdullah was once doing i'tikaf. He was spending time in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after the Prophet has passed away sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and just worshipping Allah. And while he's doing his i'tikaf, somebody came to him and asked him to fulfill a need. He interrupted his i'tikaf. He left his masjid and fulfilled this person's need. And he was asked about this, that you were doing i'tikaf, you're worshipping Allah, and this person came to ask you for help and you left your i'tikaf. And he said that I heard the Prophet ﷺ say that to fulfill the need of your brother is better than doing i'tikaf in my masjid, in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for such and such a period of time.
مثال آخر على بذل النفوس كان الشيخ صالح الفرفور منشئ معهد الفتح في الشام عند إنشائه للمعهد بدأ يجمع المال لإنشاء هذا المعهد فمر على بعض التجار ويأخذ يعني يقول لهم يشرح لهم فالمهم دخل إلى تاجر فهذا التاجر بسقه ورد يعني على الشيخ بالبساق، فقال الشيخ: هذه البساق هذا للحيتي، أما لله ولرسوله ماذا؟
هذا القصة عن مان سيتي؟
عن الشيخ صالح فرفور
فجاء
منشئ الذي أسس معهد الفتح،
إلى هذا التاجر
جاء إلى هذا التاجر فطلب منه، فكأنه بسق هذا الرجل، فقال: هذه البسقة للحيتي أنا، ومسح هكذا وجه لحيته. أما لمعهد الله ورسوله ماذا؟ فاستحر التاجر وأنفق.
Sheikh Saleh Farfour, one of the great scholars of Damascus, and he founded a school that's called Ma'had al-Fath, and it is regarded as one of the most prominent schools, religious schools. They do religious studies and also secular studies in Damascus. Many, many scholars have graduated from it. So when he was establishing it, he would go and ask people to donate to so that he could cover the expenses of the school. So he went to somebody who's a trader, and he asked him to donate for the school. And that man, he spat at him in order to show his contempt for his request. And so he took maybe that some of that saliva fell on his hand. So he took that saliva and he wiped his beard with his own beard with the saliva, and he said that this spitting is for me. But what do you have for Allah and His Messenger? and the man became shy, and he contributed to the cause of the school.
صورة أخرى من بذل النفوس: سمعت ورأيت. الدكتور راتب النابلسي حفظه الله وعلى شأنه وقدره، كان يعني في أول دعوته، وكان مشغول جدا، وكان لم يكمل دراسته، يعني كان أثناء تكميل دراسته كان عنده رسالة الدكتوراه. فقبل الامتحان، قبل امتحان الدكتوراه بأربعة أيام، جاءه شاب من يحضر عنده الدرس، وقال له، وهو فقير الحال، قال له للشيخ للدكتور راتب، كان أستاذ راتب حينها، قال له: أنا عندي امتحان في التوجيه، وأريد أن تساعدني في يعني أن أمر على المنهاج، باقي أربعة أيام للامتحان. قال له: طيب، يعني لم، والدكتور الأستاذ راتب عنده بعد أربعة أيام رسالته في الدكتوراه، يعني هذا الطالب عنده توجيهي والأستاذ راتب عنده دكتوراه، فصرف الأربعة أيام لهذا الطالب. نعم، نكمل.
He said that another example of something that he said he's heard and he's seen is an example of Dr. Ratib Annabulsi, a famous preacher and speaker in the Muslim land, in the Arab world. Very moving, it gives very moving lessons. And Sayyid himself attends and benefits from these lessons. So they have a friendship. So he said that when Dr. Ratib, he was studying for his doctoral exams, and his exams were in 4 days, and it's the height of pressure, and he's busy. He said a high school student came and knocked on his door. He said, I have my high school exams in 4 days. Can you help me study for my exams and go through the entire curriculum with me and teach me so that I can pass my high school exams? And he has, so Dr. Ratif, he has his doctoral exams, his own exams. And he said, yes, I'll do that.
قضى الأربعة أيام في خدمة تدريس مواد التوجيه لهذا الطالب، وكان يجلس عنده إلى قريب منتصف الليل. ففي اليوم الرابع الأخير وغدا عنده مناقشة الدكتوراه، لم يفتح، وكانت المادة في علم النفس كتابين، المادة مؤلفة من كتابين، كتاب قد راجعه من قبل وفهمه، الكتاب الثاني لم يفتحه أبدا، وجعل هذه الأربعة أيام من أجل أن يقرأ هذا الكتاب. لكن قضيت هذه الأربعة أيام في خدمة عبد من عباد الله. ورجع في الساعة 12 ليلا بعد منتصف الليل، قال ماذا أقرأ وكيف أقدم هذه المادة؟ وكان الدكتور الذي المناقش للرسالة لا يعطي علامة فوق 60%، شديد جدا في العلامات، لا يعطي فوق، يعني هذا الأول عنده يعطي 60%. فالدكتور فتح الكتاب هكذا ووجد عنوان يقول، العنوان الذكاء بين الوراثة والشيء، يعني عنوان لهذا البحث. فقرأ هذا العنوان 12 صفحة، قرأ هذه 12 صفحة، قرأها وأغلق الكتاب ونام. وفي الصباح تأخر إلى الذهاب إلى الجامعة، فأخذ جواربه وضعها في جيبه وركب السيارة ووصل إلى الجامعة متأخرا 5 دقائق. أدخلوه إلى قاعة الامتحان. ماذا حصل؟ جاء بالامتحان سؤال واحد عليه 100 علامة، الذكاء بين الوراثة وكذا، كتبه كما قرأه. ماذا أعطاه الدكتور المناقش؟ أعطاه 100% رتبة شرف.
So he spent the next 4 days. So the high school student came to him and said that, can you help me study for my exams? And I need 4 days. And so every day he'd come and he'd stay with him until midnight. And Dr. Ratib, he would sit with him, review everything, help him study. Until the fourth day, past midnight, he finished. And the next day he has his doctoral exams. In order to study for his doctoral exams, he had to read 2 books. One of the books he'd read before and he understood. The other book, it was something to do with psychology or genetics or something like that. And he didn't, he hadn't read it. He had no idea what was inside the book. So it's past midnight, he picked it up and he opened it up just at random, seemingly at random, because nothing is random, everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He opened it and there was a section about intelligence, whether intelligence is something that is inherited, genetically inherited, or whether it's something that is acquired. So he read 12 pages and that's the only thing he read from the book, and he shut the book and he went to sleep. The next morning he woke up and he was late because maybe he's been up. And so he rushed out of the house, didn't have time to put on his socks, put his socks inside his pocket, and he went to sit the exam. And in the exam, there was one question. That question, it was out of 100. And that question was about whether intelligence is inherited or acquired. And so what he'd read the night before, he wrote it. And the person who marks these exams, this professor, was known to be very strict. And he would never give anyone more than 60%. So the student who performs the best gets 60%. He never gave anybody more than 60%. Dr. Atin, he wrote it, it was graded, he got a full marks, he got 100%, and he graduated with honors.
وما مما رأيت منه أنه طلب منه من أعرف، يعني من أعرف طلب منه، وعنده كانت حالة شديدة هكذا في يعني ضغط نفسي قوي، فطلب منه يعني أن يدعو له. قال له: أنا في خدمتك في أي وقت تريد، أنت لا تكلف نفسك أن تأتي إلي، بس تقول لي تعال إلي، أجلس عندك 10 ساعات من أجل أن يرفع هذا الضغط النفسي عنه، وهو على ما هو عليه من كثرة الأعمال والأشغال وكذا وكذا. قال: آتي إليك في الوقت الذي تريد وبكل يعني سرور، وأبقى معك المدة التي تريد كل يوم على الأقل 10 ساعات.
Said that somebody once came to him. So the Sheikh Fatih is a very busy man. He gives lessons, appears on television and radio, writes books, has classes, has probably millions of people have benefited from him. So he said this is something I said when you saw that somebody came to him, had been through a difficult situation, had gone through difficult times. And so he came, and so that left him in a state of depression, very, very depressed and sad. And so he came to Sheikh Ratib and to talk to him so that he could find comfort. And Sheikh Ratib said to him, when he'd finished, he said that, I am at your service. Whenever you feel sad, you feel depressed, call me. You don't need to come to me, I'll come to you. Every single day, I'll come, I'll sit with you. I'll sit with you for 10 hours, as long as you need, I will come and I'll sit with you. So he did this with complete happiness, despite the fact that he was busy with all of these other things in an unimaginably busy way that many of us we aren't.
من عامل الله سبحانه وتعالى في هذا عامله الله فوق ما يتمنى. من عامل الله في خدمتي، وهذا طبق حديث رسول الله أو طبق الحديث القدسي، الخلق عيال الله، لا أدري هو حديث قدسي أو حديث، الخلق عيال الله وأحبهم إلى الله أنفعهم لعياله. هذا في هذه الشواهد، هذا ترجمة هذا الحديث، أنك بذلت لأجل عبدا من عبادي وقتا مالا جاها، فأنا أعطيك فوق ما بذلت.
And that the this is and everything that we've said is an elaboration of a statement that's being transmitted from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which means that people are the dependents of Allah. So who are my dependents? My dependents are my children. Your dependents are your children or your parents. People you love, people who you want to be taken care of, you're concerned about. And so when somebody comes and takes care of them, you are grateful and you're happy. It makes you happy. So this hadith says that that all people are like the dependents of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are really dependent in the sense that everybody is dependent on Allah. And the hadith continues to say that the most beloved person to Allah is the one who takes care of and is of most benefit to the dependents of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
وقالوا رضي الله عنهم حاشا أن تعامله نقدا ويعاملك نسيئة.
They say that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far, far exalted above you dealing with him in cash, meaning doing something, spending of yourself now, and for him to repay you in credit, i.e. in the afterlife, meaning that the reward comes in this world before the next world. So I have a question, so I'll start off, inshallah. So my question is about, sometimes we might have regular acts of devotion that we do. We have a certain amount of dhikr that we recite daily, or a certain amount of Quran that we recite daily. We have a habit. Then somebody's need needs to be fulfilled. Somebody needs our help, and that means that we'll have to forfeit this thing that we do. And so, do we give priority to helping other people, or do we give priority to doing our regular act of devotion? لو كان عندنا مثلا أوراد نقرأها و وتعارض قراءة الورد بقضاء حاجة إنسان، فبناء على ما قلتم يعني نقدم قضاء الحاجة على الورد.
بلا شك، وهذا في يشير إليه قطع الاعتكاف. ماذا يفعل الإنسان في الاعتكاف؟ عنده ذكر، عنده قرآن، عنده أوراد، عنده أذكار، فقطع هذا لماذا؟ قضاء الحاجة هذا وقتها، لا يوجد لها قضاء، بينما الذكر يوجد له قضاء، فنقدم ما لا قضاء له على ما عليه قضاء.
So he said, without doubt, and that's what the story of the i'tikaf indicates, that the companion, he interrupted his remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order to fulfill the needs of another person. So he said that the thought process is that if somebody has a need, this need needs to be fulfilled now. But if we have a regular act of devotion, a recitation of the Quran or a zikr that we do regularly, this can always be made up later. If we miss it now, we can make it up later. But this need of somebody that we're fulfilling, it can never be made up. So we give priority to something that cannot be made up over something that we can make up afterwards.
من مشى في حاجة أخيه كان له أجر عمرة وحجة قضيت أو لم تقضى، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام، من مشى في حاجة أخيه كان له أجر عمرة وحجة قضيت هذه الحاجة أو لم تقضى. هو فعل السعي في حاجة أخيه، قضيت أو لم تقضى كتب له من الأجر ما لا يعلمه إلا الله.
So there's a hadith that has been transmitted from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi
wasallam. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام.
Whose meaning is, the exact words escapes us, but the meaning is that if our brother has a need, if a brother has a need, and we walk with him, so we say stand up, and when say come, I'll help you, and we so the meaning whoever walks with his brother in order to fulfill his need, he has the reward of a Hajj and a Umrah. Whether that need is fulfilled or whether it's not fulfilled, the mere fact that we got up and walked with them, one gets the reward.
والله لي قريب سبحان الله. أنا أقول له وأقول لمن يعرفه، أقول له مكتوب على جبينه يا قاضي الحاجات. أقول له أنت مكتوب على جبينك يا قاضي الحاجات، لا يطلب منه أمر، كان ما كان بأي اختصاص كان، إلا عندما يصل الأمر إليه يكون أحرص على أدائه من صاحبه. والله
He says that that he has a relative, and he tells his relative that it's written on his forehead, the words are written on his forehead, oh you who fulfills needs. He says that he swears by Allah, he says that nobody ever comes to him for any need whatsoever, except that he is even more avid to fulfill the need than the person who came asking his help.
يطلب منه أحياناً معاملات في الدولة يعني ما أحد يتجرأ على الدخول بها. يذهب وعندما يدخل على المسؤول يقوم المسؤول ويؤدي له التحية والاحترام.
He said that sometimes people, they ask him to help fulfill something to do with the government. And the government where he lives is not very, is something that people are scared of because they might imprison one, they might do, they're not easy to get along with. He said that he doesn't look left, doesn't look right. He gets up to fulfill this person's need, goes to the government office. And when he enters, the person who's responsible stands up to greet him out of respect for him and rushes to fulfill what he has come to ask for.
هذا ليس بقليل عند الله. هذا ليس بقليل عند الله. تجد وجهه مقبول عند كل من دخل عليه. مقبول. خلاص ما في مقبول. لا يرد له طلب.
He said that this is not a small thing. He said his face, you know, there's something very big with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said you find that his face is accepted by everyone. Everybody who looks at him says, I will help this person because just something that Allah has given, because of the way he is. And everybody accepts him. Everybody listens to him. Everybody helps him.
وقد ذكرته لكم في بر الوالدين. كان برا بوالدته. ذكرت لكم في بر الوالدين أن أحد أولادها عمتي أخذها إلى الحج. فيقولون لها رفاقها يقولون لها ارضي على ربيح يعني الذي أتى بك إلى الحج. تقول ارضي على ربيح. تقول يا رب ارضى على أبو حاتم. تدعو لمن؟ لذلك الذي في بلده لم يأتي بها إلى الحج.
He said that that he mentioned this person in the lesson on being good to Muslims, and so it said to her that his mother they would take their mother to the brothers of his father would take the mother to Hajj or Umrah. And while they're there, they'll say, make dua for so-and-so of your son. And she'd raise her hands and not make dua for him, but make dua for this other son who was otherwise, he wronged himself. He did things that weren't pretty, but he was extremely good to his parents.
قال وضعت يدها على شعرها هكذا. الرجل إذا أراد يعني هذا في العرف إذا أراد أن يفعل شيء يفعل هكذا. يضع يده على شاربه يعني سوف يفعل. المرأة إذا أرادت أن تصر على شيء تضع يدها على شيء من شعرها من هنا. فكانت تقول له تضع يدها هكذا وتقول سوف ترى أثر الرضا في الدنيا قبل الآخرة وتضع يدها هكذا.
She used to say it's the son of hers, uncle Sayyid ibn Munir. She would say that, so in their culture, when you say I'm really going to do something, a man, he takes his mustache and he holds it, meaning that he's really going to do it. And a woman, she takes some of the hair and she holds it, this hair, and she says she's really going to do it, to emphasize something to a point. And so she would hold her hair and she would say that you will see the effect, the positive effect of your service in this world before the next.
من أراد أن يجرب فليعامل الحق في خدمة خلقه وليرى معاملة الحق له.
He said, anybody who wants to try should deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by serving people and let him see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deal with him, the positive things that will come. You should, after Suhan, جاء أحد الحاضرين تسأل، يعني أحيانا أشعر ب يعني دائما أنا أقضي حاجة هذا الشخص، وأقضي حاجة هذا الشخص، أقضي 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 أقضي، فأشعر عندنا عبارة باللغة الإنجليزية، يعني هي نقول كأنني أحرقت،
كأنني
يعني جاءني، يعني لا أستطيع أن أفعل أي شيء آخر، يعني أفنيت نفسي في هذا الأمر، والآن لا أطيق أن أفعل أي شيء آخر، يعني لم يبقى عندي طاقة لأقضي حاجة أي شخص آخر، يعني بذلت ما عندي ولم أجد ما ولم أجد فوق هذا ما أبذله. فأحيانا يعني من كثرة هذا، ثم يأتي من هذا يعني يأتي ضجر أو شيء هكذا، فتقول أحيانا أشعر هكذا، فهل هذا يعني بعد هذا البذل والبذل 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 أشعر هكذا، فهل هذا يعني يوجد خلل في النفس؟
نعم، فيه أجاب عنه الشيخ الهاشمي هذا، يقول عندنا عبارة أو حكمة تعلق في البيوت، توضع مثل آية الكرسي في البيت، برواز، تقول هذه الحكمة: اتقي شر من أحسنت إليه. تقول هذه الحكمة: اتقي شر من أحسنت إليه. يقول الشيخ الهاشمي: ماذا تفسير هذه الحكمة؟ إذا أخذتها على ظاهرها، هذا هو الذي قالته الأخت، هذا هو، إذا أخذتها على ظاهرها اتقي شر من أحسنت إليه. قال: أليس هكذا؟ قالوا: كيف؟ قال: اتقي أن ترى نفسك أحسنت إلى خلق من خلق الله، فإذا رأيت نفسك أنك أحسنت إليهم وقعت في الشر.
So there's a question that sometimes I feel burnt out from constantly fulfilling others' needs and being generous. Is this an issue of the nafs? And Sivunir said that yes. And so he said that there in the houses in Damascus, there's a saying, a proverb, that they sometimes write and they hang on the doors of their houses, or when you enter, you see it. And this proverb, it says, protect yourself from the harm of those who you serve. Protect yourself from the harm of those who you spend of yourself for their sake. And he says that the meaning of this proverb is what the questioner has said, that you give and you give and you give, you get burnt out and you feel that you can't give, and you feel like you've, that there's, that maybe you feel irritated or something like that. And so he said that Sheikh al-Hashimi used to interpret it in a different way. And he would say that this means that when you help other people, then the harm that you should protect yourself from is that you see that you have done something to help them. And so protect yourself from, when you help people, the harm that you need to protect yourself from is the feeling or the thought that you are the one who have done something to help them.
هذا الذي تضجر هي منه غيرها يشتريه بعمامته. الذي هي تضجر منه غيرها يشتري هذا بعمامته، وإذا كانت تضجر من هذا فلتتواصل معك، وهناك من يشتري هذا منها شراء، فيدفع لها ثمن قضاء هذه الحاجة، يدفع لها وينفذها غيرها.
He said that this thing that we get irritated with when people come and ask us and we get irritated, he said that there's others who would who have this character trait who would buy it from us. They would pay us money, meaning that we give, and we feel we can't give anymore. We feel irritated. He said that that if somebody feels that way, they should contact me, and then I will. I guess the idea is I relate it to the Munir, and then he will pay you money, in order to have the right to fulfill the needs that other people get. But he's saying it generally, that other people get irritated. So that's the describing the description of the character trait of generosity.
فهذا عرض لها أن ندفع لها أي حاجة تأتي إليها أن تحولها إلينا ندفع لها ثمن ذلك.
So he said this is an offer. So if there's so if you get irritated or fulfilling anybody's needs, then contact Ibn Munir through me, and he will pay you money, and he'll fulfill the need.
عليها أن تحول بس يعني أن بس تحول تحويل.
Just do the transfer.
هناك حديث لا أحفظ المتن لكن المعنى أن لله عبادا جعل حوائج الخلق إليهم فإن تبرموا وتضجروا حول هذا إلى غيرهم.
There's a hadith whose meaning, he said, I don't remember the words, but the meaning of the hadith that's been transmitted from the Prophet ﷺ is that Allah has special servants. And these special servants, they're special because He has placed the needs of other people with them. He has made them people who fill other people's needs. And when they become irritated and at fulfilling the needs of other people, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes this noble rank away from them and gives it to somebody else, and fulfills the needs of others at the hands of somebody else.
ربما يذوق الإنسان من السعادة والسرور في قضاء حاجات الخلق ما لا يذوقه في غيرها من العبادات.
Said someone might find pleasure and happiness in and sweetness in fulfilling the needs of other people, and that pleasure and happiness and sweetness is not found in any other act of worship that one does.
من ذاق عرف.
Whoever tastes knows. جزاكم الله خيرا سيدي.
الله يحفظكم سيدي يبارك فيكم بس لا تفوت هذا الخير على نفسها أو علينا.
So he said that don't, to the questioner, he said don't miss out on this goodness either yourself or don't let us miss out by transferring it.
ما أظن بعد هذا أن تفرط في حاجة جاءت إليها.
No, he said, I don't think that after this that she will be that you'll be that you won't fulfill the needs of somebody else.
والحمد لله رب العالمين سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر. يا الله هذه كانت يختم الصحابة بها مجالسهم فهذا كمان جواب لأختنا. والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. في طيات هذه الآية جواب لأختنا.
The companions would end their gatherings with this surah, with Surah Al-Asr. It says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by time that surely mankind is in loss. It's we are every moment that we spend is a loss, except those who believe and do good deeds, and they urge each other to do good, and they urge each other to be patient. He says that in this surah is also an answer to the question that was asked.
معلش تعقيب.
نعم سيدي.
في حاجة بالشام لأصحاب يعني أصحاب حاجة. فتكلمت مع أحد لقضاء هذه الحاجة. وشعرت أني أثقلت عليه في تنفيذها. فقلت له والله سامحني أنا يعني أثقلت عليك يعني في قضاء هذه الحاجة. قال أبو منير أنت أعطيتني ذهب، تعرف الذهب يا أبو منير؟ قلت نعم أعرف الذهب. قال أنت قدمت لي ذهبا، فهل أحد يقدم له الذهب يرميه؟ أنت في طلبك لي لقضاء حاجتي ذهب إليهم، هو ورأى بؤسهم ورأى يعني ما هم فيه من، فقال أنت أتيت لي بطبق من ذهب لقضاء هذه الحاجة، فأنت جزاك الله خيرا على ما قدمته لي. انظر إلى هذا.
That Sayyidina Munir, there was somebody in the Sham who had a need. Sayyidina Munir, he called one of his friends and he said, can you fulfill this need? And then he said to him that it seems like, you know, I feel like I've burdened you by asking you to fulfill this need. And the person said to him, he said, oh, Munir, you have given me gold. By asking me to fulfill this person, you've given me, you haven't made a request, you've given me gold. When somebody gives somebody gold, do they, would they ever refuse it? And he went and he fulfilled the need of these other people. He said that, look at this person and how he views fulfilling other people's needs.
هذا منذ بضعة أيام من خلال الأسبوعين الماضيات. مو شيء قديم الآن.
This just happened in the last couple of days, during the last 2 weeks. It's not something from previous times, from the time of the Sahaba. It's from now.
نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يستعملنا وجميع إخواننا والمسلمين فيما يحبه ويرضاه وفي خدمة خلقه لنفوز بحب الله سبحانه وتعالى. الخلق عيال الله وأحبهم إلى الله أنفعهم لعياله.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all tawfiq to gain this huge benefit and realize ourselves with the statement that people are the dependents of Allah, and those who are closest to Allah and loved by Him most are those who are in greatest service to His dependents.
Allah يحفظكم ويبارك فيكم إن شاء الله. اجعلنا في دعائكم جميعا.
Ask for all of your du'as. Allah and makes du'a for you. May Allah bless you and preserve all of you.